This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, we were discussing the emotions of the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, post the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Honestly speaking, one can just not comprehend and appreciate the gravity of this trial upon the companions radiyallahu anhum. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أُقْعِدَ فَلَمْ يُتِقِ الْقِيَامِ. Some just sat down and they were unable to stand. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ اِعْتُقِلَ لِسَانُهُ. Some were just stunned. They couldn't speak. فَلَمْ يُتِقْ الْكَلَامِ. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ مَوْتَهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. And there were those that went into denial stage. There were those that went into isolation, given the gravity of the situation. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had mentioned that whenever you find yourself in any challenge, then reflect over the affliction the ummah had to contend with in my demise, because surely that is the greatest trial that could come upon this ummah. And of course, Nabuwah and prophethood now ended, and this was the end of that bond between revelation and the creation, because of which Umm Ayman radiyallahu anha expressed her immense grief, etc. But we had touched on the fact that Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu came to rescue the ummah at this moment. And I just want to, you know, recap that again. That he came in from visiting his other wife because there was some symptoms of recovery and everybody kind of returned to their activities and engagements, only to realize that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed on. He came in, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face was covered, Aisha radiallahu anha had covered it, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then moved the blessed cloth and then kissed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his forehead and said, Tibta hayyan wa mayyita. O my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were amazing when you were alive and you are equally amazing post your demise. Death had to come and surely it has arrived. And then he recited the verse of the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. Now we need to appreciate, in so much grief, to reflect and for the mind to go to the appropriate verse is really an amazing accolade of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As I was speaking in the previous segment, that when a person is in panic, in fear, in anxiety, then basic things slip our mind. Physical address, phone number, friend's name, etc. It just slips your mind because you're so consumed by the moment. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was gripped by the greatest trial that could grip anyone. And he was the closest companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Nabi alayhi salam. So the grief he was experiencing was of the greatest nature, yet he could reflect over the verse of the Quran and provide guidance, counsel and navigation for the ummah. Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا إِن سَمِعْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ تَلَاهَا هَوَيْتُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ مَا تَحْمِلُنِي قَدَمَايَ وَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ مَاتْ. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited the verse, I had no option but to submit, and I dropped to the ground. My legs became heavy, and I just couldn't move. And I had to make peace with the fact that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had moved on. Shawaliyullah rahimahullah had written that Sayyidina Umar's initial phase of denial is not that he denied the concept of death. He knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will pass on. That's inevitably. But he did not believe that this was the moment. He thought this was just, moving away for a period of time. And as Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to Mount Tur. So it's not that Sayyidina Umar denied death. That is there, he knew, and it's inevitable. But he didn't accept the death at this moment to be the actual death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited the verse of the Quran, he realized that it is now over, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has moved on, and he made peace with that situation. Imam Qurtubi highlights and reminds us, هذه الآية أدل دليل على شجاعة الصديق. This ayah speaks great and is speaks volumes on the bravery of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And here he puts into perspective what's the definition of shuja'a, commonly loosely translated as strong and brave. But he says, thubutul qalbi 'inda al-masa'ib, for the heart to be firm at the time of affliction. And remember, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as-sabru 'inda sadmatil ula, real patience is at the time of the first affliction. So just as everybody has been afflicted, so is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. At that very moment, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's composure, his calmness, his balance, the entire ummah remains perpetually indebted to this favor of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Some amongst them were saying, لم يمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منهم عمر. The likes of Sayyidina Umar was initially hesitant and reluctant, but yet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited the verse, and everyone had to accept it. فَرَحِمَ اللَّهُ الصِّدِّيقَ الْأَكْبَرُ. May Allah have his, may Allah's choicest blessings descend on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. كَمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ دَرَأَهَا عَنِ الْأُمَّةِ. How many a tragedies and a trials he averted from this ummah, and he shielded, and he came to the rescue of this ummah. وَكَمْ مِنْ فِتْنَةٍ كَانَ الْمَخْرَجُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And how many trials, the solution and deliverance from that crisis were on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَعْرِفُوا لِلصِّدِّيقِ حَقَّهُ وَقْدُرُوا لَهُ قَدْرَهُ. So the author implores upon us that understand the right and the status and the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَأَحِبُّ حَبِيبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَحُبُّهُ إِيمَانٌ وَبُغْضُهُ نِفَاقٌ. Indeed, indeed. Love the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for loving Abu Bakr is a characteristic of Iman, and despising or disliking Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or having any degree of resentment to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is the trait of hypocrisy and nifaq. Someone once said to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Jubair ibn Nufayr to be exact, Jubair ibn Nufayr had said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Wallahi ma ra'ayna rajulan aqda bil qisti, wala aqwala bil haqqi, wala ashadda ala al munafiqina minka, fa anta khayrun ba'da rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Umar, I haven't seen someone more stern on the hypocrites, more articulate when it came to truth, and more just when it came to pronouncing rulings and judgments than you. So honestly, my opinion is, after Nabi alayhi salam, you are the greatest person. Jubair ibn Nufayr said this to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So another companion, Awf radiallahu anhu, was present. He said, Kadhabtum, you have spoken a lie, O Jubair ibn Nufayr. I disagree and I don't concur with your sentiments. Wallahi ra'ayna khayran minhu. We have seen people greater than Umar radiallahu anhu after Nabi alayhi salam. So after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest, of course. And in this ummah, we've seen people greater than Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, yes, you are correct. And who are you referring to? So he said, I am referring to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What did Sayyidina Umar say? Sadaqa awfun wa kadhabtum. صدق عوف وكذبتم والله كان أبو بكر أطيب من ريح المسك وأنا أضل من بعير أهلي. سبحان الله. Look at the humility of Umar رضي الله عنه. Indeed, Abu Bakr was more fragrant than musk, and I am more deviant than the camel in the house. In other words, I'm regular, I'm ordinary, I'm average. And of course, this was humility on the side of Umar radiallahu anhu. But even he attested to the greatness and the rank of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Yet it comes in another narration, someone said to Umar radiallahu anhu, Anta khayrun min Abi Bakrin, Anta khayrun min Abi Bakr, you are greater than Abu Bakr. Now sometimes in our gatherings, people will come and whisper something in our ears, you're greater than him, people respect him, revere him, salute him, but my opinion is you are more senior than him. Subhanallah, what did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? Here, what did he respond by saying? He said, لَلَّيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرْ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرْ وَآلِ عُمَرْ. My word. لَلَّيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرْ وَيَوْمْ. One night in the life of Abu Bakr, one particular night and one particular day in the life of Abu Bakr, in virtue and merit and significance, surpasses Umar and the family of Umar. And the night he was referring to was the night of Hijrah, where Abu Bakr was privileged to journey with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina in the cover of night, using the alternate route, keeping away from the intelligence of the infidels of Mecca, lest they intercept the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr was privileged with this journey. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. That this companionship, this closeness, this proximity, the second of the two, إذ هما في الغار, when they were in the cave, إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن, when he صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his friend and his companion, do not grieve, verily Allah is with us. ما ظنك يا أبا بكر, in the hadith of Muslim, ما ظنك يا أبا بكر بإثنين الله ثالثهما, أو أبو بكر, what is your panic? What's your opinion about those two, the third of whom is Allah? So that was the night of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then the day of Abu Bakr was the day when Nabi alayhi salam passed away. We will discuss now. It was a Monday. It was, there's difference of opinion if it was duha or it was after zawal. If it was after midday or it was at forenoon. Although many scholars go with the opinion of Ba'd al-Zawal, that it was after midday. So at that time, how Abu Bakr came to the rescue of the Ummah, how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the rescue of the Ummah, that day of Abu Bakr and that night of Abu Bakr, in virtue, in merit, in significance, surpasses Umar and his entire family. And Aisha radiallahu anha had said, صار أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كأنهم معزة مطيرة. That the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they appeared in their state of confusion at the demise of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم like a flock of wet sheep in a forest infested with predators. So this element of confusion, anxiety, uncertainty. And yet again, it was my dad, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who rose to the situation and rescued the Ummah. So we need to appreciate, this great virtue and rank and maqam of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, going forward, one of the challenges that they had to deal with urgently was the formal appointment of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And hence the ghusl and the kafan was put on hold momentarily. So we had mentioned that numerous ahadith hinted in the direction that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be in charge. However, there was not a categoric, explicit appointment of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Bay'atu Abi Bakrin bil Khilafa, the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَبَايَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ بِالْخِلَافَةِ فِي سَقِيفَةِ بَنِي سَاعِدَةِ. The Ansar had converged in the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah. And there was a calling from the Ansar, مِنَّا أَمِيرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ أَمِيرٌ, that perhaps we should entertain the possibility of one Amir from the Ansar, one from the Muhajirin. But obviously this was not accepted, and this was not the way to go forward, in the sense that, you know what, this is going to breed a lot of division, etc. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma were informed about the fact that the Ansar had converged in the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah, and it was requested of them to come through as well. And of course, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma arrived there, and shortly thereafter, Everyone pledged their allegiance to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this is Amrun Mujma' alay. There's unanimity on it, there's consensus on it. Everyone willfully, happily accepted the nomination of Abu Bakr. And like I indicated, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya'ba Allahu wal Muslimun illa Abu Bakr. That Allah and the believers will not allow for anybody else to be appointed but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. حتى لا يجد الشيطان سبيلا إلى تفريق كلمتهم وتمزيق شملهم ولا تلعب الأهواء بقلوبهم وليفارق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الدنيا وكلمة المسلمين واحدة وشملهم منتظم وعليهم أمير يتولى أمورهم. That the reason why this was of a pressing need, because there were issues that needed to be discussed. In fact, amongst that was Tajheezu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa dafnu Rasulullah. The procedures regarding the kafan and the ghusl and the rituals of burial. Now, who pronounces the verdict? Who passes the ruling? How are we going to give the ghusl? In how many garments will we enshroud the Nabi of Allah? Who will lead the prayer? Where will the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be buried? Is there any aspect pertaining to inheritance or not? All these issues were now pressing and some decision needed to be made. Now, who is going to lead and guide? Hence the issue pertaining to the appointment of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was key, was vital, was integral. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united the Sahaba on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr never desired it, never aspired for it, never requested for it, leave alone campaigned for it. Then comes the aspect of ghaslu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa kafnuhu wa salah alayhi. You know, to give the ghusl to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and shroud him in the kafan and to perform the janazah salah. Can you imagine for the Sahaba, in every funeral he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading, all the years he's advising, and suddenly you find yourself in the situation. It's challenging enough when a prominent leader, scholar, person who is marja, to whom people turn to for guidance and inspiration, when he passes on and you don't know who to console, because the family members are not the only ones afflicted by his demise, his disciples, his students, his colleagues, his neighbors, and the congregation at large. These are, this applies to the average, the general, the scholars, the learned, etc., the muqtada, the a'imma. Can you imagine? This is Imam al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها. عائشة رضي الله عنها says, لما أرادوا غسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when the noble companions intended to perform the ghusl of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first challenges they had to contend with was, ما ندري أنجرده من ثيابنا كما نجرد موتانا. Do we remove the clothing of Nabi alayhi salam like we do with our average and common disease, where we take out and then you put a cloth over and then you give the ghusl, etc.? Or do we bathe him and give him ghusl while he's clad with his clothing? They were confused and there was uncertainty regarding what should be done. أو نغسله وعليه ثيابه. أو نغسله وعليه ثيابه. Do we give him ghusl sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while his clothing remain on? فلما اختلفوا, there was difference of opinion. Some felt that no, just leave Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam مستلقاً, lying on his back, وعليه ثيابه, while his clothing remain on him, and we just give ghusl above the clothing, while others felt that no, as would be the case with any other disease where the clothing would be removed and then you would have a cloth covering and then giving ghusl beneath it, etc., or on the upper portion you'll be washing with your hands directly, etc. And of course, ma baina surra ila rukba, between the belly button and the navel, it would be covered, etc., the usual procedure. So when they had the dispute, alqa Allahu alayhimun nawm, Allah cast sleep and slumber over them. So they're standing around, they're busy discussing what's the way forward. Should we nujarriduhu min thiyabihi, remove the clothing, Or nughassiluhu ma'a thiyabihi? Do we give ghusl while Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's clothes are on? In the state of discussion, difference of opinion, alqallahu alayhim an-nawma. Allah caused sleep and slumber to grip the entire sahaba. Ma minhum ahad illa dhaqnuhu bi sadrihi. Right? Each one of them found himself in a place where the chin was resting against his chest. So in other words, his head just dropped down. So they're discussing this, sleep came over all of them at the same time and their heads just dropped down. While their heads dropped down in that state, فَكَلَّمَهُمْ مُكَلِّمٌ مِنْ نَاحِيَةِ الْبَيْتِ. They all heard a sound in that state, in that sleep, in that slumber. They didn't see anyone, but they all heard a common voice saying to them, لَا يَدْرُونَ مَنْ هُوَ. They were clueless who this was. أَنِغْسِلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابُهُ. Give ghusl to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam while his clothing remain on him. So this was not to one or two, but rather each one of them that were present there in that room at that time experienced the sleep and heard the sentiments. So now there was unanimity that we will not remove the blessed clothing of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَغَسَّلُوهُ وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابُهُ. So they gave ghusl to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam while his clothing was on him. يَسُبُّونَ الْمَاءَ فَوْقَ الْقَمِيصِ. They were pouring water. Allahu Akbar. You know, you're giving ghusl to a parent, to a dear one, you emotional. Sahaba were those who would not allow the saliva of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to drop on the floor. They would not allow the water of ablution to drop. The famous hadith in Bukhari, in Kitab al-Shurut, in the first volume, where Urwa ibn Mas'ud Thaqafi came as an envoy on the occasion of Hudaybiyah to discuss and negotiate with Nabi alayhi salam. And he was mesmerized by the level of obedience and submission of the companions to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallahi ma tanakhama nukhama illa waqa'at fi kaffi rajulin minhum fadalaka biha wajhahu wa jildah. That this man would never spit, but that they would grab his blessed saliva, فَدَلَكَ بِهَا وَجْهَهُ وَجِلْدَهُ. And then he would use that blessed saliva of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and apply it on his face and on his body. And we also know that one of the du'as of cure that Nabi alayhi salam taught us, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take the sand of Medina and he would mix it with his blessed saliva. Bismillahi turbatu ardina biriqati ba'dina liyushfa saqimuna bi'idhni rabbina. In the name of Allah, with the soil of our land, mixed with the saliva, with the permission of our Lord, as a form of cure for the ill amongst us. So the Sahaba would grab and value and treasure everything from the blessed body, the water of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed organs, the saliva of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here the Sahaba find themselves in a situation where they are given ghusl. Remember when Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said at the time of his death that during my time of closeness and proximity, when the Nabi of Allah was alive, I would attend his gathering daily. And if somebody had to ask me, وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ عَتَهُ, if I were asked to describe his appearance, مَا أَطَقْتُ, I would decline, I would excuse myself, لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أُطِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَأَ عَيْنَيَّ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ, because I didn't have the courage to look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam direct in his blessed eyes. So that was the kind of respect, reverence and love. And here the Sahaba had to find themselves in a situation where they are actually giving ghusl to the blessed body of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيَدْلُكُونَ بِالْقَمِيصِ دُونَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. And they were wiping the body of Nabi alayhi salam with his garment and not with their hands. So the blessed clothing of Nabi alayhi salam was on his sacred body, and they poured water and then they just rubbed on the very blessed garment of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because it was covered and not with their hands directly. وَكُفِّنَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَثْوَابٍ سَحُولِيَّةٍ. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was enshrouded in three pieces of suhuli garment. Yasuhuli refers to a place in Yemen, meaning it was a Yemeni cloth, and he was enshrouded in those three pieces of kafan. Baldatun bil Yaman, laysa fiha qamisun wala imama. There was no qamis in it. Now, qamis is loosely translated as shirt, but I'm consciously not using the term phrase shirt because I don't want, you know, what is mutabadir ila dhahn, what comes to our mind and thought of shirt is very different. And obviously, the garment of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very different. So anyway, that somewhat concludes the ghusl of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the appointment of Abu Bakr, then the khutbah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So in that sense, the burial got somewhat delayed because of the multiple issues that needed to be attended to urgently. Then do we remove the clothing or not? That got resolved where an unknown voice spoke out to them and they understood it and they obliged. Now came the aspect of the Salatul Janazah. Who's going to lead the prayer? Who's going to lead the prayer? Mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Udkhila ar-rijalu fasallu alayhi bighayri imamin arsala. The men came and performed the salah in groups, but individually, nobody led them. In fact, in Sirat al-Mustafa, there is a narration which I read that Nabi alayhi salam was asked that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Who will lead your Salatul Janazah? This is mentioned in Sirat al-Mustafa. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that after my demise, first Jibreel will come and perform my Salatul Janazah, then Mikael will come, and then the other Malaika will come, and thereafter the masses and the Ummah will follow in their droves and their scores. So this is a narration captured in Sirat al-Mustafa that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had indicated to the fact that nobody will formally lead the prayer. And precisely to that, after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, udkhil al-rijal, the men came, performed their salah and they went. Hatta faragu, until they had completed the rituals. Thumma udkhil al-nisa, then the women came, they performed their salah. Fasallayna alayhi, thumma udkhil al-sibyan, then the children came along and they performed salah. The mind just cannot comprehend the gravity of this moment and how tense it was for the noble companions. Fasallu alayhi arsala, in groups, in scores, in multitudes, they came back and forth. Lam ya'ummuhum ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahad. There was no one who could lead the congregation, and this is amrun mujma' alayhi. The scholars agree on this unanimously that the janazah salah that was performed on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performed individually. Then comes the next challenge. You know, I was reading something very amazing the other day, where it's a kitab called Safinatul Faraj Fima Habba Wa Dabba Wa Daraj. And in that there is one chapter, Al-Ajwibatul Muskita, where sometimes, you know, you ask a question or you say a thing and the reply that you get silences you completely. So there's an incident mentioned, and you just try to imagine for Sahaba how challenging it was. Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, he is a scholar of hadith, one day he was crying, kana yabki, fadakhala alayhi Yahya ibn Aktham. So Yahya ibn Aktham goes to visit him. So he asked Sufyan ibn Uyayna, limadha tabki, what makes you cry? So Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, bulitu بعد أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمجالستك. بليت بعد أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمجالستك. That I remember I had the great opportunity to sit in the company of Sahaba. I had the great opportunity to sit in the company of Sahaba, and post the demise of the companions, I have to now contend with people like yourself in my gathering. Meaning anyone for that matter, simply because there is no comparison between the Sahaba and the non-Sahaba. And Al-Ajwibatul Muskita, you know, the answer that was given, and it just makes you appreciate the challenge of Sahaba. So Yahya ibn Aktham then replied, فَمُصِيبَةُ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمُجَالَسَتِكَ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَتِكَ. فَمُصِيبَةُ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمُجَالَسَتِكَ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَتِكَ. if you are going through pain and going through difficulty in your life, that you have to sit with us, and rightfully so, after having the privilege of sitting with Sahaba, then I cannot begin to imagine, the nature of the trial that gripped the Sahaba, that after sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had to sit with you. After having the honor and the, and how amazing, and can you imagine that every day you come and you sit in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and lo and behold, you now find yourself in the gathering of anyone and everyone but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So inshallah, in our final segment, we will discuss the grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who descended in his grave, and those final moments as he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lowered into the grave. Remember Fatima radiallahu anha said, كَيْفَ طَابَتْ يَا أَنَسْ كَيْفَ طَابَتْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَن تَحْثُوا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْتُرَابِ. Oh Anas, how did you people muster the courage to hurl sand over the blessed grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So, نَفْسِ الْفِدَاءُ لِقَبْرٍ أَن تَسَاكِنُهُ فِيهِ الْعَفَافُ وَالْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ. May my parents be sacrificed for that blessed location which houses you, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Qadhi Iyad has written in his Shifa famous kitab that the most sacred location is that blessed land that accommodates the sacred blessed body of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.